What is going on, everybody? Welcome back or welcome to the United States of Soccer. This is the number one soccer podcast that covers everything Premier League, Major League Soccer, and the United Soccer League. If you're a Philadelphia Union fan, stay tuned. If you're an MLS fan, stay tuned for this. If you're neither, you should still stay tuned because this is an awesome, awesome episode where I'm going to be joined by Todd Lewis. He is a credentialed media member who covers the Philadelphia Union. He runs the Free Kick podcast. You can check them out everywhere you get your podcast. They're also on Twitter at Free Kick Pod. If you're a Philadelphia Union fan, go give this guy a follow. Go give his show a follow. This was such an awesome episode. The guy's very much in the know of everything going on. He and I discuss the beginning of this season and how weird, I'll say, it was for the Philadelphia Union. We have a talk about the CONCACAF Champions Cup, not league. Can't say that no more, but CONCACAF Champions Cup. We talk about this League's Cup run and what the hell happened when they came up against Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. And then we look ahead to the remainder of the regular season and what's going to happen going into the playoffs for this Union team. And we had a pretty in-depth discussion about Jim Curtin. And Todd gave his opinions on if Jim Curtin's a big game manager. So, again, if you're a Philadelphia Union fan, stay tuned for this. It's an awesome episode. I had a lot of fun doing this, man. Such a good guy. So without further ado, enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. I am joined by an absolute legend here, Todd Lewis from the Free Kick podcast, where he covers everything Philadelphia Union. Todd, what's up, dude?
What's up, Michael? It's too kind. I don't think I would call myself a legend, but I'll take it. I think that's a first that anybody has called me a legend when I've appeared on somebody's podcast. So maybe it won't be the last, right. But I'm doing good, and I really appreciate you inviting me, and looking forward to talking all things Philadelphia Union, MLS, whatever else you want to talk about. So
I'll take us on a little journey here through the Union. A lot to talk about with what you guys got going on over there, man. I've been Todd, I don't think you probably don't know, but for most of our listeners, they know, big Premier League guy and Detroit City FC guy, so USL guy. This is the first real year getting into the MLS. I've been following Todd's show the entire year. I've been trying to find different podcasters for each individual team and following Todd's show all year. Go check that out, Free Kick, everywhere you get your podcast. Todd, why the Union, man? We just talked beforehand. You're from Maryland. Is it just because, you know, they're an hour away, or what's up? Why not DC United, dude? What's up with that?
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? You hit the nail right on the head. So I'll take you guys. We got time. Oh, I hope. Yeah. So I'll give you the whole story. So back in 2018, me and my old co-host Tyler Elliott, we started the podcast. We always listen to sports talk radio here in Maryland, and we're like, you know, they never talk about soccer. Why don't we talk about soccer? So we started a Premier League Champions League podcast, and then about a year in doing that, non-league clubs over in England reached out to us managers and said, hey, we like what you're doing. Can you interview our coaches in the league and help us get more exposure? And so we started interviewing coaches from the London Underground League over in England. And that was a lot of fun. But then once we got back to doing our regular show with the Champions League and Premier League, I was like, man, this is really tiring because everybody else is doing these shows. And it's hard because we literally try to talk about every single game.
I hear that.
And that's really difficult when you're trying to watch all the games and you're taking notes on every single game. And it's like, man, this is a lot. And I remember one point in 2018 when the World Cup happened in Russia, we watched every single game. And after the World Cup was done for the day, we'd get straight on recording, have that episode out within an hour or two of recording just because we want to have everything current. And yeah, that took a toll out on me. And so towards the end of the show, Tyler and I decided, you know, let's go up to a Philadelphia Union game because it's a lot easier of a drive than going down to D.C. And technically, mileage-wise, we're closer to D.C., but I mean, for people that aren't aware of D.C. traffic.
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, just because you're an hour away, I mean, that could be an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You just never know with D.C. Yeah. And yeah, you can take the train down and everything, but myself, you know, I don't want to rely on somebody else. And, you know, I want to make sure that I'm in control of the time, not, okay, well, we have to be out of the stadium at this time so we can get the train heading back. And so we looked up Philadelphia Union, and it said an hour away drive. And so we're like, okay, yeah, we're going to our first Philadelphia Union game in 2019. I was paying attention to the Union in 2017. Didn't watch a ton of games because they didn't all get shown down here in Maryland. So I'd catch the occasional DC United Philadelphia Union game. And then 2018 is when I really got invested in them, started watching the team more consistently. And then 2019, like I said, was the first time that I decided to go to my first Union game. And so, yeah, I mean, I would probably consider myself a fan, but then after like 2020, I was like, you know what? There's not enough people covering this team. Let me go ahead and apply for press credentials, and been covering the team since 2020. So it's been a blast.
That's awesome, man. I actually didn't know that you had press credentials and all that. That's sweet. How is that? Is that different? Like, cause it's part of like, I guess that's part of like your job now. Is that, did it take away the fandom or anything like that? Cause you have to cover it as like an actual work part, or is it still there?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I take it away. It's like, you don't want to show any bias, and
that's tough.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it is tough, right? I would say I'm definitely still a fan, but like, I don't let my emotions be shown. And I think people would probably tell you if they listen to my show, because the format changed at the end of 2019 when I went from Premier League, Champions League to the Union. And I started interviewing a whole bunch of Philadelphia Union fans, just because it's one thing I noticed, like, these local reporters aren't giving the fans a voice. And so I said, you know what, why don't I give the fans a voice? And so I just started reaching out to everybody and anybody that would reach out to me on Twitter and say, hey, I'll come onto the podcast, talk about being a Philadelphia Union fan. And so doing that, it taught me more about the team. And it was a blast going to the stadium cheering in 2019. But then 2020, I have to push all that aside and try to show no bias whatsoever. It's like, maybe occasionally in my head, if the Union come from behind, I'll let out a cheer and everything. But I definitely try not to let that be.
You got a European team or no?
Manchester United. But I'll be honest with you. I'll still watch the Premier League, but I don't feel that attachment anymore, right? And maybe some of your listeners will kill me for that, but it's like, why, like, what's the attachment to Manchester United? Like, I watched the World Cup in 2006 between England and Portugal, and I knew nothing about soccer at the time other than indoor soccer, and the commentators kept talking about Manchester United, kept talking about England. I said, all right, I'm an England fan, I'm a Manchester United fan. And I don't know, I mean... The longer I became a fan, and not because Manchester United started sucking these last few years, but it's like, I just don't feel that attachment, honestly. And so, like, it really bothers me that soccer is growing here in the country, but you see so many people that don't support their local club, whether that's MLS, USL, USL1, USL2, grassroots soccer. And, like, how can you, in my opinion, how can you call yourself a soccer fan when you're not supporting the local teams in your backyard? It makes no sense.
Todd, I love that, man. And I think, you know, what's funny is that can actually go on a much different conversation there, because one of the reasons that Brian, Alex, and I wanted to do this whole thing was because we don't feel like there's enough like actual talk about the bigger game. We covered the Premier League, but we felt that way too, that like we're big fans of English teams. I've never been to England once. I'd love to go. I have a great time, I bet. But that's why we tried to get into more of the MLS this year. And I think since doing this, I've met a good amount of people now that have been just diehard MLS fans that are starting to just move away from what everything, like the rest of the world, is doing when it comes to soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. And they're paying more attention to what we have here. Messi's obviously a big deal of that, and is going to attract more people, which we'll get into that in a minute. But I think that's spot on, man. There's a lot of people that are going through that little change there, because at the end of the day, I'd say a lot of people in the States have not been, a lot of people that are liking soccer have not really ever been over to England. And they definitely didn't go over to England before they became a fan of that team. I'm in the same boat as you. In 2006, my first memory is Zidane headbutting Marco Materazzi. That's the first thing I think about. My first real memory is Frank Lampard missing a penalty against Portugal. And after that, it just kind of became a little bit of Chelsea, especially in my later years after like end of high school there, I became like diehard into Chelsea. But I have never at all been over there. So it is. It's a different speech. I actually gave up. I'll give you a quick background on this because it's kind of funny. I was about to get into the MLS in 2015 or 16. Detroit was supposed to get a team and it went to Minnesota. And I was like, I'm done with this league. And I moved away. But it seems like it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I thought it was a bit Mickey Mouse look from the outside looking in. Got into it this year. This league is awesome. Genuinely, this league is awesome. There's a lot of talent in this league that people I don't feel like talk about enough, and I don't think it gets enough credit. I mean, there's so many good players in this league. On that, man, Philadelphia, third place finish, man, more than respectable, and on to the CONCACAF Champions League, Leagues Cup. Tell me what your thoughts on Leagues Cup. If people haven't listened to your show, I have. I know a bit of your opinion, but give my listeners a bit more background of what you think Leagues Cup is, and then give me your take on Philadelphia's third place finish there.
Oh man, what I think Leagues Cup is, it's a clear money grab. It's 100% a money grab. Like, it makes sense to me, right? Because Liga MX teams, they want the money that these MLS teams are generating. And the MLS teams, they want the viewership that Liga MX gets with their league. So it made sense why they partnered with each other. But when you look at the price, especially the teams that played Miami, oh my God, like the ticketing prices were insane for that. And I'm sure we'll get into the Miami game here in a minute, and I won't get too much into that. But yeah, that was a crazy atmosphere and crazy environment, and it all feels too corporate to me, right? I mean, you get a lot of people that are coming that are just Messi fans. They don't care about MLS. They don't really care about Leagues Cup, Liga MX. They just care about Messi. And like I said, we'll dive into that, I'm sure, here in a little bit. But yeah, Leagues Cup, I mean, it just didn't sit right to me to see the league, MLS and Liga MX, for people that don't pay attention to that league. They had just recently started their season. I think they were 3-4 games into their season, and then they put the league on pause. And I'm like, why are we putting the league on pause when, one, for people that are unaware with how MLS operates, so the season ended last year in November, I want to say. In December, the players had off, and then January, they report back to training camp. And so you only have a month and a half at best with time off, and then you're right back into the swing of things. And I'm like, the July season is supposed to be another time off for these players. And now you've just taken that away from them, and now you're playing even more games. It's a clear money grab. And I saw recently Rodri and Rafael Varane over for Manchester City and United respectfully complained about the amount of games that both of those teams played last year, and said that they couldn't perform the best because they were playing games every 3 days, and you can't rest yourself. You can't have proper recovery. And so I think we were probably seeing a little bit of that with the Philadelphia Union, and we can dive into that later for sure if you want to.
Yeah,
I
got a question for you real quick, man. With MLS, because it's brand new for me, the MLS, why do they not, we'll get back into Philadelphia in a second. Why? I think because the offseason happened. I saw the final game of the season last year, the championship game, and then a couple months later, we're kicking back off. I was like, oh, we're already getting going again. Why do they not stop when everybody else stops for like national team games? This is the only league I feel like that keeps going and there's no break. So it's like there's less players. Is that a problem to you, or is that just normal all the time?
Well, I mean, I see fans all the time say, why aren't you following the FIFA calendar? Why aren't you following the season that England's doing? And here's a reason for that. Do you really want teams playing in Colorado in December and January where it's pouring down snow? You're never going to get a game in. Or you go ahead and look, I mean, it doesn't matter, any place out west, or even here on the East Coast, I mean, you get a blizzard and you're never going to get games in. And so, yeah, I see fans complain all the time, well, you're playing games in the middle of the summertime and it's 105 in Dallas, but when else are you supposed to play these games? So just with this country being as big as it is, I mean, it's really difficult trying to follow that FIFA calendar. And when the FIFA window is up, you know, you got to play through it. So
yeah, I got you. So go on, Philadelphia's run in this Leagues Cup thing, man. How overall thoughts? I know it's a weird competition for you. I agree with you on the money grab thing. I didn't actually know how, like, what Liga MX was getting from this. That actually makes a whole lot of sense. So on to Philadelphia Union, what are your thoughts on their run through here?
Pretty disappointing, honestly. I mean, I know people are going to say, well, they finished third, but if you watch this team, they struggled against DC United in both games that the Union played DC so far this season, now they play them this weekend down at Audi Field. So we'll see if the Union can finally put a goal past DC United, because they've been scoreless in two games so far. Have only had 5 shots on target in 2 games against United. It's not been good enough against them. With DC United playing Tyler Miller, the goalkeeper, as a sweeper keeper, they've been playing a high line, and they've caught the Union offsides plenty of times. And so the Union love to hit teams on the counterattack, and they just haven't had any opportunities against DC United this season. It was the same thing in League's Cup. The Union fortunately win on penalty kicks against United. They had to be bailed out by Andre Blake, the goalkeeper, a couple of times. The service into the box was non-existent against the New York Red Bulls, who they played after DC United. You know, there were spacing issues between the 3 center backs, Jacob Glesnes, Jack Elliott, and Damian Lowe. It was just way off, and the Union conceded early in that game, like they have a good majority of the season in MLS, conceding a league leading 7 goals in the first 15 minutes of games. It's not been good enough for the Union, and the Union couldn't match the intensity that the Red Bulls came out in. And you have those issues against you, of course you're going to get punched in the face, but the Union found a way to get a goal in the second half and eventually win on penalty kicks. And this team's not been good in their history on penalty kicks, so it was a little bit of a surprise to see them win against DC United, win against New York Red Bulls, because we all know last year's final, the Union lost to LAFC on penalty kicks after, curse him, Gareth Bale comes up late and ties the game up. And for all you Liverpool fans that are listening, yeah, you guys probably hit that guy as much as Philadelphia Union fans do as well. And so they survive in advance against Red Bulls. And so they play Querétaro for a second time, who were in their group, but the Union and Querétaro got out of the group. And the Union started that game well, but after 20 minutes, they took their foot off the pedal and thought that, you know what, we're just going to coast. And to Querétaro's credit, they punched the Union in the mouth and scored a goal in the second half. Bad marking by Jacob Glesnes let his attacker go right by him, and the Union probably should have lost that game against Querétaro, in my opinion. But again, they found a way to survive in advance. A late goal by Chris Donovan, their striker that's not a homegrown, but might as well be a homegrown because he's from Philadelphia. So it was nice to see Chris get a goal. And then that Miami game.
Yeah, here we go.
That was...
Go on.
That was a dumpster fire of a game. And we can get into Miami here a little bit later, too, if you want. Yeah. But that was so bad. I mean, the most disappointing game out of the 7 that the Union played in League's Cup. Miami didn't beat the Union. The Union beat the Union. It's as simple as that. It was just uncharacteristic mistakes defensively by Andre Blake, by the center backs. Andre Blake was out of position for all 4 goals conceded. Damian Lowe, one of the 3 center backs, probably had his worst game as a Union player. The Union acquired Damian Lowe from Inter Miami in the offseason, and yeah, this was by far Damian's worst game that he played because the spacing was off with him and Jack Elliott. He was pushed up high on the field way too many times. He whiffed on the first goal. Should have done better on that. Credit to Miami, though. They stuck it to the Union. You know, Jim Curtin changed up his formation for this game. Instead of playing a 3-5-2, which he was playing throughout League's Cup, Union typically play a 4-4-2 diamond formation, try to make it extremely congested in the middle. Jim Curtin went away from that in League's Cup, played 3 in the back. And now against Inter Miami, they decided to play 5 in the back, play with 1 striker. And so the Union did a good job taking care of Busquets and Messi. And I know Messi scored a goal, but he shouldn't have scored 35
That's
yards out.
Blake, man.
It's terrible that goalkeeping is. By Andre Blake. But at the same hand, credit to Messi for realizing that, hey, Blake's out of position. He's a little bit off his line, and good players, the world's greatest player, of course, they see things that you and I don't see. And so Messi took advantage of that opportunity. But the Union said, you know what? Your best players aren't going to beat us. We're going to make other players beat us. And that was the center backs for Miami, and beat them they did. And just a really bad game against Monterrey. The Union, they looked like themselves. They went back to the 4-4-2 diamond, but Monterrey changed the whole starting lineup. So, yeah, really disappointing tournament. And Ali Bedoya, the captain for Philadelphia Union, said as much in the locker room. He said, I told the guys that, you know, we've not looked like ourselves throughout this tournament. And the Union fortunately finished third, get a CCC spot, a CONCACAF Champions League. Can't say CONCACAF Champions. CONCACAF Champions Cup. Can't say league anymore. So still trying to get used to that. But yeah, I would say definitely disappointing.
So on, you know, you touched on it, man, pretty well there. On that Inter-Miami game. So as a complete and total neutral, you know, I'm going into that game thinking this is going to be the game that Messi loses. This is going to be the big, you know, I thought that was going to be an awesome game. Truly thought going in that was going to be a great game. How was that vibe around Philadelphia going into that game? I know it had to have gotten loud at halftime there. Had to. And then, to be honest, man, you said it yourself. You guys came out in the second half, and it could have been tied. If there was better finishing on the field, could have had a chance to tie that game up, which is insane to think about. But how was the vibe going into that game, and then what was that stadium like at halftime?
Yeah, I would say the vibe going into the game, so I got there extremely early. Fortunately, I get off early on Tuesday, so I went home from work, changed up, and then headed straight up to the stadium around like 2 o'clock. And man, I was shocked that there were so many people there already. You saw all these Inter Miami jerseys. You saw all these Barcelona, all these Argentina jerseys, of course, with the name Messi. And you had people just selling jerseys, which typically doesn't happen. I mean, we've seen that in the past with Club America in 2021 when the Union and Club America faced in the CONCACAF Champions League. And I was like, this is huge. I mean, every single news station in Philadelphia was there at the game, which never happens. Like, the city of Philadelphia really doesn't care about this team. They won't talk about them on any of the sports stations. They won't talk about them on the TV stations. But they were all here for this game. You had helicopters flying around the stadium. So you knew that this is
a big one.
Not like anything you've ever experienced before. And it's pretty funny, too. So the team buses for Inter Miami got caught in traffic, and they showed up to the stadium late. And so you knew when Messi was there because people saw the buses come into the stadium, and everybody starts running for the gates just to get a glimpse of Messi. And you heard everybody just clapping for Messi, 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 Messi. And it was funny, when Inter Miami finally came out onto the field, they announced them over the PA system, Inter Miami. A lot of boos. Boo. And I was not shocked by that because Philadelphia, they're going to make you feel the love. And I think that's what I love about Philadelphia fans. They let you hear it. And it was funny where you look against Dallas. I felt like there was more Miami and Messi fans in Dallas than Dallas fans. And so my thoughts going into this, okay, are the Union fans going to sell their tickets? Are they going to sell out and make a payday and the stadium's going to be overrun by Miami and Messi fans? And there were a good amount of those fans, but the Union faithful showed up and they listened to Jim Curtin. Jim Curtin said prior to this game, don't sell your tickets. And the fans listen. The fans listen. So, I mean, I applaud the fans. Kudos to them. But man, with everybody covering this team, to have that performance, hopefully those fans don't say, all right, I'm never watching the Union again. This is my first game. And that's what hurts me, right, is because the Union had a chance to get those 4-for-4 people and turn them into 5-for-5ers. What I mean by 4-for-4, you have your 76er fans, your Phillies fans, your Flyers fans, and your Eagles fans. So that's a 4-for-4. We want 5-for-5, including the Union. And the Union had an absolute huge chance to do that, and they blow it with uncharacteristic mistakes, like I mentioned. And I think part of that probably was because these players were a little bit starstruck that Messi was on the field with them. I mean, you saw it before the game started, players walking up to Messi, giving him hugs, the two Argentines and Julian Kranza and Joaquin Torres for the Union. After the game, they're taking pictures with Messi. They're exchanging jerseys with Messi. So I do feel like the players were a little bit starstruck, and I mean, it's disappointing. Glad to see the Union bounce back against Monterrey, but I said this on an Inter Miami podcast. This was a huge opportunity for these Union players to get eyes on them from Europe, because you got to imagine there were so many scouts watching this game, because if they could have been the first to defeat Messi, don't you think scouts and teams in Europe would be like, you did that against Messi? The transfer window is not open yet. We'll give you X amount of money for Jose Martinez because he shut out Messi. And they blew that chance. And it's really disappointing when all the eyes in the world, the whole city stopped to watch the Philadelphia Union take on Inter Miami, and they blew that chance.
My dad and brother, big time Philly fans, and they do not watch soccer. Not very big soccer fans. I've been getting my dad into it hilariously. And they knew about this whole thing. And when they heard Jim Curtin say that, hey, don't sell your tickets, classic Philadelphia mentality right there. I was like, oh, this is it. You know, this is a proper sports city. This is going to beat, you know, no disrespect to all of our Miami listeners, a non-sports city in Miami. You go there for the vibes. You don't really go there for the sport. You go in there for the big names, but proper sports city in Philadelphia. I thought this was going to be the moment, man, and it came out and laid a dud in the first half. And I think part of what you just said was a reason so many people are getting starstruck by this guy. And I feel torn. Yeah, I get it at the same time, but like I'm not a professional, but I would be starstruck, but I'd also be like, I'll be the first one to beat this guy. That would be awesome. But so it kind of takes me in. Overall thoughts for you on Messi joining the MLS? Good thing, bad thing? Where have we seen the negatives at, and what are the positives you think are going to come out of this?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm already over it. I've watched 2-3 games of Messi, and I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. But experiencing what I experienced at Subaru Park last Tuesday with all these media members that don't give a crap about the Union that are only there for Messi, that was a joke. And seeing people just get so defensive and people just acting crazy for Messi. I mean, you had people running onto the pitch after the game. It's like, relax. Like,
yeah,
it was, we called it, the circus is in town, and the circus was in town. And I don't blame Union fans if they want to sell their tickets next year when Inter Miami come to town, because the Union tried their best to handle the amount of people that were in that stadium. And I don't know if you saw this picture, and I didn't realize this when I was in the stadium in the press box. So for fans that are unaware of where Chester is, where Subaru Park's located, it's on the Delaware River, and behind is the Commodore Barry Bridge. And there was fans sitting up on that bridge during the game. Insane. Just because they couldn't get tickets. All right, we're going to go ahead and sit here on this bridge and barely be able to see Messi, but just to be able to say we see Messi. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I took a picture online of the media line just stretched all the way out into the plaza. That's never happened before since I've been covering this team. I mean, like I said, the circus was in town. And I don't blame fans at all for selling their tickets. And I was on an Inter Miami podcast prior to this game, and they were telling me how their parking's now went up from $30 to $50 just because they can. You want to see Messi? All right, here you go. All the celebrities that are going to these games now, it's insane just to see Messi. Like, these people don't care about soccer. And I really feel like MLS and these clubs are bleeding their fans dry just because it's Messi. And we were joking in the press box. We went on MLS's website and it said, be a Messi insider or something like that. Just to subscribe to their Messi newsletter. Get the latest news on Messi. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what Messi's doing. I don't care what store Messi's at. I don't care what time Messi wakes up to eat breakfast. Like, you guys are really, and I get it, right? This is the cost of paying Messi 50, 60 million a year and everything. You want all eyes to be on this league because of Messi. But man, it's really getting thrown down in your faces. There's a whole bunch of stories that MLS really aren't telling that should be told. And here's a story I'll tell you. So like you told everybody in the intro, I'm from Maryland. And two local kids from Maryland play for Charlotte FC. And that's a story that should have been told here locally in Maryland. That these two kids rose through the ranks, played local soccer here, and now they're sharing the field with Messi. Why isn't that story being told? Jesus Bueno with the Philadelphia Union, a guy they signed in 2021, really wasn't getting many looks the last couple years. And he just had a breakout tournament in League's Cup. Why isn't that story being told nationally? It's all Messi, Messi, Messi. And I'm sure there's thousands of other stories that are being missed that aren't being told because all eyes are on Messi. And I get it. It's Messi, the greatest soccer player to ever live. But yeah, man, I'm over it. The good thing that comes out of this is, I guess, all the eyes on MLS. And I think if you can capitalize 5-10% of those fans after Messi leaves and make them MLS fans, then I think that's a win for MLS. But I don't know. I kind of feel like when Messi's just destroying the competition, 10 goals he finished with in League's Cup in seven games, whatever it was. Yeah, it's pretty bad defending. Makes the league look bad.
Steve Blake gave you no help there.
There's an argument that, look, he was doing it in Paris. He was doing it in Spain. He does it everywhere he goes. So I hear that too, but you're always going to have these people say, oh, it's MLS. Look at the terrible defending. But Messi's doing this everywhere he plays. So I don't know. I'm over the whole Messi.
I'll give you a funny one. So I'm in DC this past week and I watched the game, right? I am leaving, you know, I'm in the inner city, DuPont Circle. I'm leaving. I've seen Messi win. I've seen Philadelphia win. I'm walking down the street. I see a guy in a Messi jersey and I said, hey, pretty sweet. And he goes, we win. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Did you win? Yeah, you won, you fool. Go get out of here. So it's crazy. It is wild to see people just, again, you're spot on, man. It's Messi, but I mean, you're getting, you know, he's getting charity goals in some of these games and he's got top quality. I mean, some of these have been brilliant, but the Blake one absolutely blew my mind. When he shot that, honestly, I was like, what? Because it came off on the ground immediately. I was like, oh, that's easy. And then it went in and I was like, what in the hell just happened here? Crazy, man.
Yeah, Andre Blake's a 3-time goalkeeper of the year. Like, those are uncharacteristic mistakes from Andre Blake. The Union are built on defense and they gave up 4 goals. Like, that doesn't happen. I can't tell you the last time that the Union conceded 4 goals at Subaru Park. And prior to this game against Inter Miami, the Union had only lost 3 times in the last 4 years at Subaru Park. I mean, they don't lose at Subaru Park. And so I'm with you. I felt like this was the biggest chance for a team to finally beat Messi, and it doesn't happen. And you brought up a good point I wanted to bring up earlier, talking about there's a lot of talented players in MLS. And I think the whole misconception where your Euro snobs, we'll call them out, are like, oh, MLS is a retirement league. It's not. It's not at all. The Philadelphia Union, their sporting director, Ernst Tanner, he came through the Red Bull system, and his eye for talent, he's brought in a whole bunch of talent from second and third divisions that nobody's ever heard about. Kai Wagner, arguably the best left back in MLS, came from the third division in Germany. Jamiro Montero, they signed him from FC Metz, who were at the time playing in the second division in France. You look at Jose Martinez, he was playing in Venezuela. Jesus Bueno, another Venezuelan. So there's a lot of gems that people never hear about. And I kind of feel like that started with the Philadelphia Union. And now you're seeing MLS teams go out and sign these players that nobody's ever heard of, players that maybe are being overlooked in Europe, and saying, hey, look, come to MLS, have a couple good seasons, and we guarantee you, you will get sold. I just saw prior to us coming onto this podcast, Petrovic, Chelsea, the goalkeeper for New England, just got signed by Chelsea. And this is a guy New England just signed last season to replace Matt Turner, who was sold to Arsenal, who now has been sold to Nottingham Forest. And credit to the Revs for having an eye for talent. I think I saw something. The last 3 transfers that they made, Buchanan, Matt Turner, and Petrovic, they've now gone for over $35 million. Buchanan came from the Generation Adidas draft. This is a guy that came out of Syracuse University, and they sold to a team in Belgium. $35 million on 3 players, 2 goalies, 1 outfield player. That's fantastic business. And MLS is not a retirement league anymore, and that's not been the case for many years. You're seeing more and more teams sign these unproven players in Europe, giving them a chance in MLS, letting them develop, and now they're getting sold to European teams. And I really hope that notion of MLS becoming a retirement league ends. And maybe it doesn't help that Busquets and Alba and Messi are coming here, but I'd make the argument that Messi's still the greatest player in the world. He could be playing in any top league in Europe. He said it himself. He wanted to play for Barcelona, but the whole reason he left Barcelona for PSG was because of the money situation at Barcelona. And he wanted to go back, but the situation didn't improve. And so him and his family decided, all right, we're going to go ahead to Miami. And Busquets said, you know what? Messi's going to Miami. I'll go meet up with you. Jordi Alba said, I'll go meet up with you and try to relive their glory days at Barcelona. So if your listeners are listening to this podcast, I really hope they take away from what I'm saying. It's not a retirement league. It really
I actually, I want to touch on that real quick because I was 100% one of those Euro snobs and I was like, I'm not paying attention to the MLS. I knew the USL was a league down. A lot of my listeners will know that I'm a Detroit fan. I jumped on the St. Louis bandwagon because it's my first year watching MLS, their first season. That was that whole thing. Fell in love, genuinely fell in love. I was like, oh, this team is absolutely awesome. There are guys, in I think in January, February, John Duran went from Chicago to Aston Villa. I was like, who in the hell is this kid? $18 million or something like that. Scored at the weekend for Villa. But I was like, "What? Who is this kid coming out of absolutely nowhere?" Since watching the league, Petrovic, I think, has been one of the best goalkeepers in this league. I think Carlos Hill has been awesome. I can go down the list talking about New England there, but there have been so many great, really good players, really good players. I was stunned at some of the quality in the league, man. It is absolutely not 100%. I could not be more on board with that. That is, you give it a chance and you're going to get locked in. I mean, it is such a talented league. And when I was getting ready for the season, I was reading as much as I could because I didn't know much, right? I knew years ago in 2000, I think it was like 14, Kansas City and Real Salt Lake played in the final. And I randomly found it on my TV. Kansas City won, fell in love with Graham Zusi, watched like maybe five games after that. Right. But like I said, I was reading as much as I could about, you know, the MLS as a whole. And everybody said, and we'll get into this in a little bit, Philadelphia was going to be an absolute juggernaut this coming season. Back onto this whole Philadelphia thing. I don't know this, so tell me. Take the credentials away. As a fan, let me hear it. Jim, I've been reading a lot that Jim Curtin can't win big games. What are your thoughts on Jim Curtin in big games? Do you think that he just came up against Messi and just got it wrong? But what – not? We talked about the game already, but what do you think is Philadelphia's thing in big games? And is Jim the guy? He signed a new long-term deal till 2026, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. I don't know if I agree with that, really, because 2014, the U.S. Open Cup final loss, the Union were at home. They weren't expected to beat Seattle Sounders, and the Union actually scored first in that game with Mo Radu, and they went on to lose that game 3-1. Then the next year, they go back to another final, the U.S. Open Cup. They lost some penalty kicks. I thought they were probably good enough to win again at home, and when you get to penalty kicks, it's always a 50-50 crapshoot. Union lose that one. 2018, they lose again in the U.S. Open Cup final to Houston. They get shut out 3-0. The Union didn't show up that game. So that one, I would blame Jim Curtin 100%. Didn't have the players ready. The players, for whatever reason, weren't locked in mentally. 2021 Champions League semifinal loss to Club America. Club America, one of the greatest teams here on this hemisphere. Union probably weren't going to win that game, even though they had chances. They had a chance to score early down in Mexico, and they had a chance to equalize back here in Philadelphia in 2021 with Jameer Montero stepping up for a penalty. Mimo Ochoa saved the penalty. Union lose that game to Club America. 2021 MLS semifinals to New York City. The Union lose that game. Don't count that because the whole squad got COVID. The 2022 MLS Cup loss, I don't blame Jim Curtin for that at all. Freaking Gareth Bale. The Union actually found a way to crawl back into that game multiple times. Go down. Union tie it up. Go down again. Union tie it up. Finally take the lead with Jack Elliott in extra time. Just for retired legs to give out and freaking Gareth Bale score. So I don't blame that on Jim Curtin because that game goes into penalty kicks. Nothing you can do there. The 2023 Champions League semifinal loss to LAFC this year, 100%, that's on Jim Curtin. He got outcoached by Steve Cherundolo. I don't know what Jim Curtin was thinking in the second leg in LA. Got outcoached. And then the 2023 Champions, the League's Cup semifinal to Miami. I think, you know, Jim Curtin kind of overthought his tactics that game. But I guess we really didn't get to see what his tactics truly were going to be because the Union conceded so early in that game. And like we said, four uncharacteristic mistakes. The Union had chances to score against Miami. Just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And at the end of the day, I mean, I think there's only a couple games there that I think were truly on Jim Curtin. And the rest of them were just, you know, just crapshoots. So, yeah, I don't think I agree with fans that may say that, oh, Jim Curtin's not a big game coach. I mean, look at those finals that the Union had to get to. They won semifinal games to get there. So, yeah, I think I would dismiss that as a fan and even as a media member.
One of the only people, only coaches, I should say, that I knew about in the MLS when getting into this year was Jim Curtin. He's a smart guy, man. I like when this guy talks. I mean, he's very, he just seems like a very intelligent dude. And when I, after this, you know, Miami loss, and I'm getting caught up by all these Philadelphia fans on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it today, you know, kind of killing Jim Curtin's name because he's come out in a couple of these. I don't know. I think Philadelphia is still in a good spot, but the beginning of the season, as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing Philadelphia's had a wild ride this year, man. You've had some season on your hands here. Let's go, before we kick off this, you know, DC United coming up this weekend, let's go back to the beginning of the season real quick, man. What, like I said a minute ago that all I read was at the beginning of the year, preseason, is Philadelphia, this is a team about to go. What happened? I think you were 3-3-4 going into April or May. What happened to this team to have four losses on the books there, man?
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Miami, which they've not really done throughout their history. They lose 2-0. They lose to Montreal on the road. Union imploded. Definitely shouldn't have lost that game. I mean, a red card to Julian Kranza, that was never a red card. The Union give up a late goal in that game. The Union were winning and should have won in Montreal. And then they lose 2-1 at home to Orlando City. And that's one of those games that was during the international break. So, I mean, yeah, on paper, these losses may look bad. But anybody that's followed MLS for years that know when teams are competing in the CONCACAF Champions League, they put the league on rest and try to take the Champions League as a priority. That's exactly what the Union did. That's the only reason for the slow start. The players, the coaching staff, they'll all tell you that, yeah, we try to prioritize the Champions League and got them all the way to the semifinal. And look, I mean, they sit in third place here, even with them focusing on Champions League early on in the season. Unfortunately, like I said, Steve Cherundolo helped coach Jim Curtin in the semifinal game, but that's all it is to it. I wouldn't read too much into the couple losses they had early on in the season.
Yeah, you guys have been moving. I mean, after getting kicked out of the Open Cup and then out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, you guys have been absolutely moving in the league. And then, you know, we had this big long break. You had a long run in League's Cup. So what do the Union need to do? 12 games, I believe, are left. 2 months, that's all we got left. What do the Union need to do to get, you know, third place in the league? What do you need to see? Are you confident if season ended right now? Are you confident going into the playoffs? And then if not, what needs to happen? What needs to change there?
Man, if the season like ended right now, I'm 100% confident, because what I'm concerned about with the 11 or 12 games, I think it's 11, but it could be 12. There's a lot of tired legs, a lot of minutes added up, and I've been talking about this. There's been people locally writing about this. Right now, Jacob Glesnes and Jack Elliott, their two stud center backs, have played over 3,000 minutes. By the time that the season's over, and before we even get into playoffs, they're going to hit over 4,000 minutes. They've never done that ever in their career. They're going to have multiple players on this team, key players, over 3,000 minutes before we start playoffs. And so that's my biggest concern, is the amount of minutes just adding up to these players' legs. I talked to Mikel Ua after the game against Monterrey this weekend, and I asked him about the fatigue levels in the squad. And he said he believes the team's actually pretty healthy, that, you know, despite the amount of games that they've played, everybody's feeling fresh. They feel good. And Jim Curtin's knocked back and said the same thing with all the analytics that they track. They say, you know, everybody seems like they're in a good spot. But now I would argue that's probably not the case. I mentioned the Union didn't match the intensity level against New York Red Bulls. And I think that's because of a fatigue issue. We've seen injuries to Julian Kranza, to Daniel Gazak, two key players for this squad. And I think it's because of the amount of games that they played. A knee injury to Gazak, a hamstring injury to Julian Kranza. These guys are just tired. They've been run into the ground, and we have 2 months left in the season. I mean, we're not even at playoffs yet. So if it ended right now, with no more games left to be played in the regular season, I'd be so confident, because I'm like, all right, a couple more games here and there, that's fine. But you add 11 games left for the regular season, then with the new playoff format this season, the first games, it's best of three. So you could potentially play three games, and then it's one game there on out. So the Union have a chance to play over 50 games this season.
That is insane.
That is insane. And so I think this team's going to get tired out. And so I would absolutely love if the season ended right now, but that's obviously not going to happen. So six out of the last 11 games for the Union are at home, which is good for the squad where they don't lose at home. New York Red Bulls, Cincinnati, LAFC, Dallas, Atlanta, Nashville. Tough games. Really tough games. But you'd rather play those teams at home than away. So hopefully the Union can pick up four wins out of those six last home games. Five games in 14 days. That's not going to bode well for these teams. So I'm a little bit weary about that, watching how Jim Curtin's going to rotate the squad. Three out of five of those games are at home. So, okay, that probably bodes well when Dallas is going to be flying in, Cincinnati is going to be flying in, LAFC is going to be flying in. Are they going to be rotating the squad against the Union? We'll see. Probably not Cincinnati or LAFC. I'd say Dallas probably, because that's going to be a Wednesday game. So we'll see what happens. But the Union, they cannot concede any more early goals. I said it earlier in the beginning. Seven goals in the first 15 minutes, which is the most in MLS. The Union cannot do that anymore. And out of 23 games played in the league, they've conceded the first goal 12 times. We saw this issue in 2021 for the Union. They corrected it last season. Now they're back to the same habits. That's fourth most in MLS. And then you've got to find a way to get the ball in the back of the net consistently. They were tied for the fourth most goals created in MLS with 65 so far at this point. They created the second most chances in League's Cup with 15, but they also missed the biggest chances, 13. So this team's creating chances, which is good. I think fans shouldn't panic over that, because if they weren't creating these chances, then it's time to panic. But they've got to get consistent and find the ball on the back of the net, and I think they'll be fine once they
do. A lot of minutes in the legs. Probably didn't want that long, deep Leagues Cup run, huh?
Yeah, no.
That's right.
No.
Especially when you're coming up empty-handed. You know, that's probably not the what you guys were hoping for there. New England might be a bit different because they're losing Petrovic, is what it seems like, off to Chelsea. So that might be somebody in the East that isn't as deep as they once were. Cincinnati, when I was looking this up, man, I think that Cincinnati has been a great team this year. I've loved watching them. I created all these questions, and we recorded this episode after Cincinnati just got pumped by Columbus the other day. So this might be we might be seeing Cincinnati catching up with tired legs. But how do you know, it feels like Cincinnati, that's where the East is going to go through. How confident are you with Cincinnati come back in? Haven't beaten Cincinnati since 2021, I believe. It's been a while now. You confident going up against this team? Do you think Philadelphia has enough to beat them?
Well, I mean, the Union beat Cincinnati last year in the playoffs 1-0 at Subaru Park. So, yeah, Leon Flock scored the game-winning goal in that. So, whatever happens in the regular season, I'm not too concerned. I mean, come playoff time, if the Union do have to play Cincinnati, then, you know, Cincinnati don't have playoff experience. I mean, yes, they won their first playoff game last season against New York Red Bulls. Then they played the Philadelphia Union, lost, like I said, Leon Flock scored the game-winning goal, who does not score at all for the Union. So it was nice to see Leon, a defensive player, step up and score a huge moment in a huge game against, I would say, maybe a team that's starting to become a rival for the Union. Because for listeners that aren't aware, Pat Noonan is the former assistant coach under Jim Curtin. Chris Albright was the former technical director at the Union. Kyle McCarthy, he's a former data nerd with the Union. I forget his specific job title, but they all left to go to Cincinnati. Sergio Santos, Ray Gattis, Alvis Powell, all former Philadelphia Union players. So a lot of Philadelphia ties at Cincinnati. And the big difference is Cincinnati has the spending power that the Union don't. So Chris Albright's doing everything that him and Ernst Tanner did at Philadelphia, still scouting these players that nobody really heard of. But instead of getting these players that are gems for cheap, he's getting the higher tier players that nobody's heard about. Bopenza, the designated player striker that they got from Saudi Arabia. He's one that they hope will hit. So a lot of Philadelphia Union ties in Cincinnati. And you can argue, Pat Noonan knows Jim Curtin better than anybody. That's what we've seen in the regular season. I would argue, when these two teams met back in April, the Union only lost that game 1-0 off of a penalty kick. Union heavily rotated their squad because they were still in CONCACAF Champions League. They'd beat Atlas, I believe at the time, 1-0 on a Tuesday, played Cincinnati on Saturday, then had to fly down to Mexico on Wednesday. So they rotated the squad against Cincinnati and held their own in a hostile TKL stadium. But I would argue both teams are a lot different than they were back in April. Look at Cincinnati now, 11-0-1 at home, have not lost a single game in league. It's a little bit concerning. TKL Stadium, it's a rocking environment. And so if they do get home field advantage, maybe it is a little bit of a concern, but they haven't proven that they have the experience, because they don't have the experience in the playoffs. So, you know, I'd be wary, and maybe that doesn't bother them. Maybe this is a different year. But like you say, Columbus absolutely beat up on Cincinnati, and because Cincinnati got dumped from League's Cup pretty early on, well, maybe because they weren't playing competitive games, maybe they're going to have a slow start. And so I was talking about all the games played that the Union had in League's Cup, where the tired legs are going to get up with them. I'll be curious to see the teams that got knocked out pretty early, how are they going to fare with MLS now starting back up? We saw Cincinnati get stomped 4-0 against Columbus, so maybe they'll drop points here because they've been out of play here for 3 weeks, I want to say. So I'll be curious to see what
come
happens.
Come November-ish, who's in the final? East and West, give me it. Come on.
Ooh, man. Putting me on the spot. I will say, man, definitely not St. Louis.
I do not think so either, but that would be a wild ride. I'll tell you that. That would be a wild ride.
I'll say Nashville and LAFC.
Interesting. You heard it here first. That is locked in. Put all your money on that right there, Todd Lewis said. Don't actually do that. Todd, man, I've appreciated you coming on, man, big time. Really do say I appreciate this big.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me on the podcast. And hopefully, you know, people are probably going to call me an MLS shill and whatnot. That's cool. I'll take it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, if there's anything people take away, it's not a retirement league, because I was in your same shoes, people. In 2007, when David Beckham joined LA Galaxy, I said, you know what? Let me give MLS a go. And yeah, that league sucked compared to what I was watching in Europe, and stopped watching MLS for 10 years. And I was surprised to see the amount of talent that had come into the league, how much more competitive the league had become. And it's only gotten better with just better scouting. Teams are being smarter with their money, and we're seeing younger and younger players come into MLS, more players getting sold to Europe. And I'm fine with MLS being a selling league. I mean, at least they have an identity, you know, to get these young players that want to come and prove themselves in MLS and know that, hey, look, I stay 2 years, 3 years at max in MLS. Now I'll get another chance in Europe. And so it's been really, really fun to see that become the whole transition for MLS. And with Messi being in the league, I'm sure a lot of more players from South America are going to say, you know, I want to have a chance to play in the league that Messi plays. So I think it's exciting times ahead for MLS. We have the World Cup in 2026, and this is the time that MLS needs to capitalize and get as many fans brought into the league, turn them into soccer fans. This is the time.
Before I let you go, man, I agree with everything you just said. Before I let you go, Pats or Geno's?
I've never had a cheesesteak, so and I would tell you, have neither.
Really?
Neither. Don't go to those tourist attractions. That's what people in Philadelphia are going to tell you. I would look up
Delisandro's. Got it. You heard it here first from Todd. Look up Delisandro's. Don't be a tourist like me. Go hit up the local spots over there. Go follow Todd at It's a Todd Life on Twitter, and give his show a follow as well at Free Kick Pod. Like I said, this is my first time getting into the MLS, my first season. I followed it. I got onto Todd's show very early, been following Philadelphia ever since then. Very awesome show. That's why I reached out, asked this guy to come on, because I genuinely do love it, man. Appreciate you big time, man. Keep up what you're doing, man. Good luck to Philadelphia, I guess.
Thanks, Michael. Good luck with everything you're doing. I love to see people, you know, getting into the whole podcasting world. And people ask for advice all the time. Number one advice I would give you, stay consistent, and you see the results speak for themselves.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. That guy was awesome. Big appreciation to Todd. If you want to go give him a follow at It's a Todd Life on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. This guy was awesome. Such a good conversation that I had with him. A lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. He and I stayed on for about 10-15 minutes after the podcast ended, just kind of chatting away about life and travel. Good dude, genuine good guy. Go give him a follow. And, you know, as a lot of you know, this is the first year that Brian, Alex, and I have covered the MLS fully. And I've needed all the help that I can get. I know those guys have as well. But in Todd's podcast has been a massive help to me and keeping me in the know of everything Philadelphia. Because you know how the MLS and Apple TV like to do it. They put 8 games on at one fucking time. So big shout out to Todd, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I know I told you a bunch after we were done. Came on quick too. I asked him and it was damn near immediate. So big shout out to him. Go give Todd, like I said, go give him a follow at It's a Todd Life, Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Go give his show a follow at Free Kick Pod. Go find them on all your podcasting platforms. Leave that man a review. Give him some 5 stars because he absolutely deserves it. And if you enjoy these kind of episodes, go give our show a follow at US of Soccer Show, Twitter and Instagram. Thank you all so much for listening. Appreciate the hell out of you. I'll see you all next time.